Welcome to Halloween Horror Events Podcast. I'm your host, Phil. Simon and Joe are not here today. Simon's pretty much, he's at work. Joe's doing the family thing as it's still school holidays in the UK. And I'm not on my own. I do have a guest on this episode. We are talking Halloween Horror Nights 32. Food, food, food. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Before we get into the episode and the guest, though, could you please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? It helps this podcast grow. And give us a great review on any other podcast out there. We're also on YouTube, where you could subscribe to HHE Podcast on there. Subscribe to us, press that bell notification, like the videos, and comment on it. We always like interaction. So let's get into this show. As I alluded, the boys ain't here, but I'm not alone. And I needed someone who is like the Marvel of food in Orlando, Florida, who knows it all. Who is
the Marvel of food?
Oh, yes, wow. The Marvel of food. And you may have heard his voice before and you may recognize it. But if you don't, I'll get my words right. We have John Self. So, John, welcome back. And for the new people, quickly explain who you are.
Well, explaining who I am would be really complicated, but let me go with the version that applies to you guys. I'm John Self. I've been working pretty much as a part-time food blogger, theme park blogger for several years now. It looks like I may be entering the world of full-time food blogging here pretty soon. So I'm still trying to figure that out with a site that's going to launch sometime later this year, but I'm doing freelance stuff. I mean, as you people are familiar with me, I spend too much time on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it this week. And at Pastor John Self, it's Pastor John, J-O-N, because H's are O. If any of you are familiar with Universal Orlando, you get that Self. And you can find most of the stuff that relates to theme parks with me at Attractions Magazine, Pirates and Princesses, and places like that. And Thrills, Taste, Travels, which I did help edit a blog based upon the Taste of Terror event that just happened on Thursday night recently.
Fantastic. Yes, that actually looks interesting, people. Go and check them out. People like Super Infused, PC Dev, all of them, they've done it. But we're going to get on
well,
to that
they
at
did,
the end.
They did the media event. There was a media event at around 12 or 12:30 on Thursday, and then the first Taste of Terror was 6:30 that night.
Very interesting. We're going to get back to that, though, because I'm going to ask your opinion on something like that. So, John is here because I'm the only one going this year from our crew, and I don't really eat the food and that in Halloween Horror Nights. I like eating before I go and then having something to eat when I get back. So I needed someone, as he's alluded to, he's a food blogger. He knows his stuff. So John is here. So me and John today are going to be talking the Halloween Horror Nights 32 food. John's going to try and explain it better, because if I try to explain it, it would sound like we're going in somewhere like a White Castle. It'd be absolutely rubbish.
That would not be good, because we need to give Universal credit, especially as someone who tasted some of the Mickey's Not So Scary food recently, because the Mickey's Not So Scary, as spoiler, as the time of recording, Mickey's Not So Scary event was recently the first one. And some of that food was really, really bad and recycled from previous years.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem with Mickey's Not So Scary.
In fairness, some of it was pretty good. So I want to give them credit for that. And I've reviewed a few of those things. And don't worry, but Halloween Horror Nights, they're really trying not only to have themed houses, but they're trying to have food booths that are themed to many of the houses, which is a really tricky thing, because you can't just recycle the same food each year.
Totally true. So let's get on to this food. And the first one, as you can see, is already on the screen. We have, John explained it. It's a burger to me. So, people, when I say it's on the screen, that is obviously because, yet again, this will be dropping on YouTube. So if you want to see the food, go and watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, this is looking at the screen, That's the peanut butter burger, which we assume will be at the Monsters food booth, which will be on the bridge between the London waterfront and the Springfield area. And I'm trying to check my notes because I've reviewed this from three of the other people. The peanut butter burger is a smash burger with peanut sauce. So when they say smash burger, that's the kind of style burger of, you can kind of get it at Hard Rock Cafe or at Steakhouse 71, where they take burgers and they smash it on the grill with the cheese. It's very American diner style, except they're going to add peanut sauce, raspberry jelly, cheddar cheese, shaved onions, jalapeno bacon, cherry peppers, and they're going to place it on a vampire bun. So my concern is, and many other people have made this joke already, it's not original to me, this one may not be so good for your insides. And
this is like buying a laxative.
Yeah. and if you're familiar with, I believe last year they had the garlic steak sandwich. I can't remember the cute name, but they went with Dracula. The bun was good. The bun was good and the sandwich was good, but with the black dye that they use, you will have some residual effects in the future.
You mean stool color by any chance?
I do mean something like that, yes.
Yes, I know that old one. I like the burger bun, though, because that look reminds me of what we just had for the Spider-Verse movie from Burger King.
Okay, that's like, fair, that's, actually.
So I wouldn't have this, so there's too much in it for me. I think, I know America, well, you lot love mixing sweet and salty and, you know, all that together.
Right. So you didn't have the Chucky burger from last year?
Oh, no. I ran. Okay. As soon as I saw that, it was like a no. And I'm guessing this is going to be slightly better, though. But
we think this will be better, but we thought the Chucky burger was pretty good last year.
That would be interesting to see then. So I'll tell you what, let's just have a little fun out here. I'm going to ask you, just out of looks and your anticipation, because you haven't tasted it, out of 10, what would you give this?
Based on my colleagues and associates who had this already, somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Ooh, that's quite good then.
But I agree the stereotypical UK palate will not do well with this burger.
No, we're very boring, unfortunately.
Right.
Okay, let's see what the next one is. By the way, these photos are from Orlando Informer, so thank them very much. Obviously, I'm doing it on Facebook, so go to their page as well.
So will. Give them a like. I'll say nice things to Taylor for you.
Yeah, mate, that guy's fantastic what he's done, by the way. It's amazing what he's done in such a little amount of time. Right, so we're on to the next one.
Are you showing the Hellfire Mini Cake? Is that where we are now? Yeah.
That's what it looks like, yep.
Okay. The Hellfire Mini Cake, which ironically, my sources tell me that this will not be at the Surfer Boy Pizza Food Tent. This will be probably at either Today Cafe or the San Francisco Pastry Company. It is a layered chocolate cake with mango cayenne filling topped with a chocolate guitar on top. For those of you who have watched Stranger Things, the guitar should have some significance in why it's on top for the Hellfire Club.
Obviously, but obviously we expect it in the house as well.
Sorry.
I'm just going to say the sticker's bugging me. Now, they could have put it on straight.
Well, I'm always a little concerned that sometimes in these press events they make some last minute decisions, because I don't think this is what this trifle style cake is going to look like. Because if you're familiar with the food at Universal Orlando, at Today Cafe and San Francisco Pastry, they always have a version of what they call trifle cake, which usually is really, really good. And they'll have a mini version and it'll have different layers. It looks like what they've done here, but I'm not sure that sticker will be on there when you buy it.
Interesting. What is the thing next to it as well? That bun one.
That looks like the pumpkin dulce de leche. I can check my notes and give you a real answer.
A lot of people from Europe will love that leche right now.
It is the pumpkin dulce de leche puff. It's a pumpkin and dulce de leche filled puff, shocker, topped with whipped ganache, pumpkin seeds, and gold accents. At this moment, I don't know where that will be. I suspect I know where it will be, but until Universal says something official, I get something from somebody who's not a team member, I don't want to say where it's probably going to be. Not that it really matters.
Yeah, you'll find it easily. So for both of them, the Hellfire Club one, score out of 10, would you reckon?
If they do the trifle cakes, I'm calling it a trifle cake. That's just a term they tend to use, the way they usually do. Sometimes they call it petite cakes. Those have been really good. This is something Universal does well. So, though I'm a little concerned about the flavors with the mango and the cayenne, this is probably a 7.
Interesting. And the one right next to it as well, obviously. We'll just quickly get that score.
That one concerns me because of the messy factor, so I'm giving it about a 5 or a 6.
Fair enough. Let's see what is next. Oh, so that was that one anyway. So
yeah,
we'll move on to another one, what's obviously to do with The Last of Us. So take it away.
This looks like the Left Behind ravioli. Apparently the Last of Us food tent, which I feel you won't be shocked by this. Universal seems to be making some kind of last minute changes to how they do stuff. I know you're shocked by that regarding HHN that last minute changes happen. But the Left Behind ravioli is going to be at a food tent in kind of in the New York area. Those of you familiar with HHN, that kind of Gramercy Park area where we've often had Jack the Clown and Chance booths where we've had those kind of food items. It's a mini, you'll get mini cheese raviolis with marinara, truffle cream, and tempura fried enoki mushrooms. Very important. We have mushrooms for those of you familiar with The Last of Us game. That has some significance to that. There's a few other items that may be there that play off of mushrooms and go from that thing. This may or may not, the photo that you're looking at may or may not be how it will be served to you.
Wonder that tin looks like.
Right. This looks very similar to, though you may be able to, I do not know. I have no inside information on this one. You may be able to purchase this either in the collectible tin, kind of like the tin you get at the Who Hash at Green Eggs and Ham over at Islands Adventure, or when they served it for Taste of Terror, it came in a more flat container and it was spread out more like you would expect a ravioli to be. We don't know which way it's going to be served, but I suspect it will not come in this can.
If they did it in the can, I reckon that it'd be an extra add-on, as you say.
Right. At Green Eggs and Ham, it's about a $5 add-on.
I see. So that's where we're looking from. So what would you reckon out of 10 for this one then?
This did not get great reviews in the... I will throw friends under the bus. It did not get great reviews under the press event, and at the Taste of Terror event, it got okay reviews. So this is probably a 4 or 5.
That's a shame. I say it'll be popular if you can buy the tin for it anyway. So
right.
That will make it a bit more interesting. It kind of interests me. I'll look at the price. If you can get the can tin for it, I may be interested because that's a great collector's item for us. But
right.
Otherwise, I'm not too worried about the food and that one myself. So the next right,
but,
one,
But also remember, before we move on, is the reason they're doing this Taste of Terror is so they can test out some of these things to tweak it. Because the food changes as the event goes on based on things that go well and things that don't, and how quickly they can get the food out. Because as you well know, one of the valid criticisms of HHN is that the food queues often get very long.
Yeah, that is one of the problems. I'll tell you what, the coconut one. This is one what I'm very tempted by. I love coconut, so I can see this one winning me over.
This is the Bloody Snowball, which will probably be at the Yeti food tent that's located near Surfer Boy Pizza food tent, which are in the New York Gramercy Park area. The Bloody Snowball is a chocolate cake with marshmallow buttercream and coconut.
That's got me all day over it. I love the look of it. It's nice and simple as well. Be a bit messy in the middle, I reckon, but other than that, I think it'd be fine.
At least for the two events that they've had so far, the press event and the Taste of Terror event, it wasn't that messy.
That's good then. That'd be something. That's what, if I want something in the park, I wanted a quick snack. That's the sort of thing I'd be looking at. It also helps as well, give you a bit more energy with the sugar and all the extras in it.
Yeah, you'll appreciate that. A lot of the other food items we may or may not cover that weren't at this event, a lot of them are more grab and go. Well, that's overselling it. They'll be easier to eat while you're moving from place to place.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So out of 10, what would you give this one?
Obviously with the disclaimer that I don't like coconut, I would not rate it very high, but I would suspect this is probably for most people going to be a 6 or a 7.
That's good. I'd say it's a nice, easy snack one. That is even one you could eat in a line of queue for one of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so let's move on to the next one. Oh, no, so that's interesting. I thought the next one would be the what's next to it, but he hasn't done
I thought
it.
it
So
would be too.
yeah. So what is this one next to it? Because I've never seen this.
This looks like, let me check my notes real quick to make sure I give you the right name. This looks like the Trick or Treat Bucket. Let me double check the photo. Let me give you a description of Trick or Treat Bucket. We're almost positive this is coming to the event.
Looks like it's got popcorn on it, so.
Right. The Trick or Treat Bucket is a chocolate creme brulee topped with peanut butter, buttercream, caramel popcorn, candy corn, M&M's, Reese's Pieces, and a licorice strip.
Do you know what? If they sold that through the daytime, say in the what's it called? I forgot now. What the hell? The shop. I forgot its name. Oh,
you mean Tribute Store? Or
that's the one. The Tribute Store is the one I'm thinking about. If they sold that in the Tribute Store, I can see a lot of children wanting this one.
Yeah, so this is going to be the great discussion. You've experienced this before. How much of this stuff is going to be available during the day, and how much of this stuff is only during HHN?
I can see most of the cakes and that being through the day. Right. I think they're a lot easier to produce.
We think, I'm checking my notes and my sources as we're talking here on the fly, that this will be in one of the stores. We think, if we're guessing, it's going to be in Today Cafe or San Francisco Pastry Company.
So I would guess a lot easier to get hold of.
Right. I would guess Today Cafe, but I want to say that I don't think that's been decided yet.
Fair enough. And what would you give it out of 10?
If you're looking for something that might match a theme to a carnival, that's got potential to be a 7 or an 8, maybe even a 9. If you're looking to avoid something messy, that's a 5 or a 4, because so, that thing's got messy potential.
6.5 then.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. So we're on to this one now. Now, I thought this was a very interesting choice, what they've done here. I understand a big thing going on in America right now is a lot of people are doing this with Doritos. Mm-hmm. So it was quite interesting that they chose the other make to do it with instead.
I do find this interesting. I did get to go to the media event. I've been there a couple times at SeaWorld for their craft beer festival, and they have a walking taco also, and they're also using Fritos. So I'm suspicious that Fritos is compensating these theme parks a little bit to use Fritos instead of Doritos, but I don't know that. But it is odd, because usually here in the U.S., Doritos are part of the walking taco. A walking taco, it basically is you open a bag of chips and you add toppings to it, mix it up a little bit, and then people use a fork and then eat the walking taco as they're walking around. Illusion I made.
If Go anybody's ahead. Listening from the UK, when he said chips, obviously we call them crisps.
Sorry.
That's all. Yes. Right, no, because we have Americans and British. I thought I'd better, just in case, right. Some people get a bit confused with that.
No, I usually don't make that mistake on your podcast. So sorry, I screwed that one up. But I was trying to look for the description. I know the description is going to say chips, but yes, these are definitely crisps.
So I know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So the description for the walking taco is a Fritos chips topped with taco beef, shredded mozzarella, black bean, queso, pico de gallo, shredded lettuce, sour cream, and cilantro. There is also a vegan version, which instead of taco beef has vegan chorizo, which I like the vegan chorizo at Universal.
Probably a lot and easier to eat that one.
Right. And we almost can guarantee this will appear at the Day of the Dead food booth. Remember last year we had the Day of the Dead food booth near Cafe La Bamba. They've already repainted that area. They repainted that area like a week ago. And so we're pretty obvious that's what's happening, especially because Cafe La Bamba has been open a lot more because Mel's Drive-In is still under refurbishment.
Yes, that's it. I forgot all about that. Do we think Mel's will be open by Halloween Horror Nights?
We strongly suspect Mel's will be open by Halloween Horror Nights, though the kitchen may look different than it did before.
That'd be interesting. Well, I won't really see that. I'm only going to go in there for food. What are you going to give this?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to give this out of 10, 7 or 8.
You know, my concern is this is a very generic type snack, and I would want to know how much it costs before I really gave it a rating. Based on what I think it's going to cost, this is probably a 6 or a 7. And remember, I'm the kind of person who would order Tex-Mex food at breakfast, lunch, dinner, and midnight snack.
I'm going to give a score myself. I'm going to give it a 4, and it's not because of the food. I'm worried about drunk people dropping this over the park.
I think that's a fair thing because it's in the name, the walking taco. So that's fair.
So I got a feeling, not just drunk people. Some people just fall out their hands. They're excited and that. Some are people you? Are mess eaters.
Yeah, but we know that, and this may be a fact. I'm just thinking this on top of my head. You can hear, by the way, I'm mumbling through this. The easiest way not to for the scare actors to come after you in the scare zone is to be carrying an open beverage. Maybe this walking taco is going to meet the same criteria. If you're unfamiliar with that, maybe you hadn't thought about that. But if it, like, you're walking through one of the major scare zones and you don't want to be scared, have a beer in your hand. The scare actors will not come after you.
I'm sorry, I've just thought of something really funny with this walking taco. Could you imagine in Vamp 69 if a couple of the vampires were walking around eating this, pretending?
And yes, that would be nice. Yes,
because it's that great be advertising nice. As well, and it'd put a lot of people off because they'd see the bag in their hands, not look at their face sometimes, and then they can scare you. It'd be hilarious. Yep. That was universal. Yeah, still my idea.
Right. If you're somebody who goes to HHN, and I suspect very few of your listeners go to HHN and are afraid of being scared, but the people who have become part of the HHN group, one of the easiest ways to make sure the scare actors don't come directly for you is to have a beverage that's open, not your freestyle cup, not a covered beverage, but one that's not one that's open.
Fair enough. Just double checking right here. So that's all on one page. It finally showed it. Typical.
Yep.
But was looked to the one, what's to the right of it? That's the mummy popsicle, isn't it?
That is the mummy pop. That's a cake pop that I think I have a full description that I'm not supposed to have. Let me look. I don't see it, but that's the mummy cake pop. And obviously you can suspect the mummy cake pop is going to be at the monster's tent.
So we're not sure what's going to be inside that one. So we can't really give that one a score anyway. Well, looks nice.
Universal does a good job with these cake pops. Usually you find these at San Francisco Pastry Company and Today Cafe, and sometimes Croissant Moon over at Islands of Adventure, but they usually do a pretty good job. Usually my criticism of the cake pop, shocker, is the price point is usually too high for what it is, but Universal has been watching that with the cake pops. They haven't been watching it with everything else, but they've been watching it with the cake pops.
So just for people who've never been to Halloween Horror Nights or Universal, give them a rough idea what a cake pop is.
That's a good question. Basically, visualize that you've taken a piece of cake or a cupcake and you've shaped it into something and you put it on a popsicle stick and then you frosted it and maybe added some filling. That's kind of what a cake pop is. This fits the mold. This fits the mold of something you could walk around and eat. However, I'm going to say almost every review I do of a cake pop, whether it's here or anywhere else, even the Starbucks ones, is it seems like a good idea to walk around with it, but you're going to get halfway through it and wonder why it's fallen off your popsicle stick. So be careful.
Right, fair enough. So we won't give that one a score because we don't know what's up. I'm going to guess some sort of vanilla or coconut, but... this one now. This one's got me very, if I'm gonna eat something, this is what I want. So people, yet again, what are we looking at, John?
This looks like the campfire poutine from the Yeti food tent. I actually have not looked at Trevor's photos, but so if this is there are two versions of the poutine at the Yeti food tent. As your listeners probably know, there's a Yeti house this year that we suspect will be a little bit campy. Because they're going in campground idea. One of the food tents, there's a Surfer Boy pizza food tent. I'm sure we'll talk about more here in a second. Then there's a Yeti food tent that's almost right next to it, kind of in the Gramercy Park, New York area, across from the Transformers Bar. And the Bloody Campground poutine is crispy fries topped with Asian-inspired gravy, char siu, roasted pork, cheese curd, scallions, and crispy chilies. Whereas there's a vegan version where they insert beefless burn ends and adjust and use vegan cheese. I was told in both cases that the poutine was really good at both events on Thursday.
This one looks absolutely amazing to me. I think if I gave it a score already, my anticipation for it is a 9 out of 10. I don't think it'd be in that saltspin like that. I think it'd be another.
It will not be in that media display. For the event, they got it in more of a whatever something halfway plastic, halfway paper container is.
Yeah, that will do me. I think I'll get. Do we know what roughly the price range for this would be?
We don't have any prices, and I don't even have sourcing to give you an idea on prices, but I would suspect... I'm just going to
go between $10, $15.
I was going to say between $9.50 and $10.50.
So that's even better then. See, it's $10 for me would have been perfect. I think if I'm going to try anything at the event, this is going to be it. It looks beautiful to me.
What and also, don't forget, I would have given it a 9 also, but I do want to point out at this point, if we speculate about prices, we don't know, but also... Remember, at Universal Orlando, if you have two of the top annual passes, you at least get a 10% or a 15% discount on all food. So don't forget that.
Yes, that's actually a good point as well. So let's move on to there's the Mummy Pot School. We go past that. Here, we got a bit of Surf Boy here now, so this is good.
Yeah, anyone from the second that we knew the one of the worst kept secrets since at least April that Stranger Things was coming to HHN. We knew we were getting a Surfer Boy pizza booth of some kind. We just didn't know what it was going to involve. We suspect that there will be a dessert themed to Yuri. We don't know the details, but we suspect that because we know he enjoyed chocolate cake and peanut butter. So I think there's some connection there. And of course, with the Surfer Boy character, I'm blanking on his name, Argyle, who works, one of the key.
Sure,
we knew there would be pizza, dude. And so we had to have that. And so I can't tell from the photo whether it's the vegan one or the non-vegan one. So I'll do both. They're both French bread style pizzas. And here in the US, French bread style pizza just means more crispy, larger, puffed up, crunchy type pizza. I know it's not what it means in a lot of other places. It's the French bread pizza comes with crispy spam, pineapple chutney, jalapeno scallions, and mozzarella, whereas the vegan version is vegan sausage with pineapple, jalapeno, and mozzarella. Because I recall from editing people's blogs about Stranger Things that pineapple and jalapeno was considered an ultimate topping on a pizza, dude.
I'm going to give this a 1 out of 10. Pineapple, like Gordon Ramsay used to say, does not belong on pizza.
Well, fittingly, you go with Gordon Ramsay, and I will go. I believe I'm on schedule to go check out his restaurant in the Icon Park here sometime next week. So I'll give you an update on that when I get there. So I don't expect much from their version of fish and chips, but that's a different discussion. I can tell you that everyone who had this, they said the pizza was really good. We're probably looking at a 7 or an 8 from the people who tried this.
Well, if people who like pineapple and that, this is the pizza for you. But people, for me, I will be steering clear from it. I don't really like pineapple in general.
Right. I will probably not. I probably will try this, but this will not be. I will be trying this because someone will say, here, John, here's a few dollars to cover this and write about it. That will be the only reason I'll be having it.
That's fair enough. So let's see what the next one. We got the popcorn chicken, I believe this, isn't it? This is quite normal for us in the UK in KFC.
Yes, the popcorn chicken shouldn't be a surprise. I'm looking for the full description. This will be at the Chucky Food Tent, which the Chucky Food Tent's kind of gone up across from where we almost know for sure the Chucky house is going to be in the Fast and Furious queue or the Fast and Furious area. And I don't want to take over your Zoom right now. I have better photos of this where we get to see it, but it's, you have fried popcorn chicken tossed in a Nashville sauce. So think hot sauce. So think any of you have been to HHN or Mardi Gras or Holidays at Universal, they used to do the hot Nashville mac and cheese. This will be a similar type thing, except it's going to come drizzled in ranch, topped with scallions and chili threads. It's going to fit pretty well with Chucky because, as we know from the announcements, Chucky's not happy with them upping the game in his house. So he needs to up the game. And I suspect we're going to get a lot of, hey, that's not hot enough. We need to make this hot enough hotter. So we'll go from there.
Interesting. So what are we going to give this out of 10?
Based on Universal's history with this type of item, because this is our first really recycled item. Now, they've repackaged it, and we do not expect it to come in this popcorn container because they didn't serve it that way. It came in a Carnival Tech container.
Right.
Universal does a good job with this. I'm going to say a 7 or an 8.
Fair enough. Oh, this looks like another one I'd love to have.
Which one is this? Is this another one of the poutines?
It looks like a different poutine, yes. It looks like it's got the fries underneath.
Right. This may be the vegan version, or maybe we got it out of order because I couldn't recognize from your previous photo.
I wasn't too sure what the photos either, so.
Yeah. Because obviously I have different photos. I saw what the people actually got who paid for Taste of Terror. So my photos look different than yours. But this looks like the poutine, which once again, like we said earlier, we've heard nothing but good things about.
So we'll just move on from that straight away. And I believe we're back to the beginning. So is there any more food items you can think of? And by the way, for them photos, thank you yet again to Orlando in Fulmer.
I'll say nice things to Trevor about his photos when I see him.
Oh, we obviously, if anybody wants a quick look, here's the freestyle cup as well, if you're interested in anybody. I think it's pretty cool. I'm glad they didn't go for Stranger Things or Last of Us. They went for more of a generic HHN kind of freestyle cup. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty cool looking one.
And there's the Blinky cup is kind of a more generic one version this
I haven't seen the photo for that. I don't know if I've just been oblivious to it.
I don't know that OI put it out, but there were several versions of that photo.
Yeah,
that came out. It looks common for it to be the Blinky cup, so it's not so surprising.
We haven't got long left. Is there any other food you would like to talk about quickly for the event?
Let me run down my list real fast. Okay, we did Walking Taco. Fine. Obviously, there's rumored to be two Twisted Tater food booths this year, like we did last year.
I believe the Twisted Taters may be near Animal Acting this year, I've heard.
That is correct. For those of you familiar with that, that's where the Beetlejuice food tent was 1 year. I can't remember what it was last year. But there's a food tent. Oh, it was themed to Scarecrow after you went through the Scarecrow scare zone. I remember now. Rumor, and I repeat rumor, we're rumored to get a Dr. Oddfellow's Carn Evil hot dog. And this will
there is a hot dog. I've seen the picture of that. I'm surprised it's not on the Orlando Informer thing. I've actually seen a picture of that, but I know
they have not. Once again, I want to say this is rumored and things do change at Universal Orlando often for perfectly good reasons. The Carn Evil dog, I saw a photo too, but they have not served it and no one has actually seen it.
Makes me think they're not happy with it yet.
Right. So, but just so you get an idea, this is themed to Dr. Oddfellow's Carnival, and the description I got, and this is not an official description, I just got, some food and beverage people talking to me, is it's going to use kind of a Funfetti hot dog bun. So visualize kind of a sweeter hot dog bun. Kool-Aid pickles. I have no idea what Kool-Aid pickles are, by the way. And then some kind of weird bubblegum mustard is what we're being told. So if you're looking for something scary, that might be scary enough. I'm rolling through other stuff.
I think this I've heard something about a Hellfire Club cheddar thing or something like that, but I haven't seen that anywhere. Fries or something I heard about as well.
Yes, the funnel fries. If we remember the petrified rat tails from last year, we're rumored to get a variation of that this year, which we suspect will be connected to Dr. Oddfellow. And this year it seems to be it's going to be sour apple funnel fries. But I can't confirm that.
There's loads of stuff I've heard about, but obviously I can't share on here because it's not right to share. I also know I'm 100% sure there'd be a twosome.
I was just about to say that out loud. I would expect a twosome milkshake, and this year for it to be more themed like tarot cards and kind of. You're visualizing a Ouija board or a fortune teller for the shake.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my source, and there's a lot of stuff we haven't been shared with us yet. What's good?
Yep, because it's important. I'm probably looking.
And because of that, I don't want to share it on this podcast because I'm happy for someone to give me kind of sometimes inside knowledge, but I don't want to lose that knowledge. So people look forward. There's a lot more food stuff still to come this year.
And in fairness, and I have similar sources. Obviously, I have maybe a little more sources on the food than Phil has. I have similar things too. I have a list of about 15 other things. However, they don't want to put stuff out until they've actually made that booth come out. So
I think it's great. Give us an appetizer first, and then we'll get into the mains. That's the way it should be done.
We expect a full food announcement sometime. I'm not sure when this podcast is coming out, but we expect a full list to come out probably in the next week or so.
Yeah, it's what happened. They'll have most of the booths ready, and then if they do what they did last year, they'll open them in the afternoon sometimes, and then just to test the food on normal guests in the park. So people, if you're there, always look out for them booths, because they could. It's like a soft opening, basically.
Yeah, they could open at any time.
Then they test the food, and they can shut us within half hour sometimes, but sometimes they could be there until end. So always keep an eye out from and try the food out. You'll know where they are if you're not sure if they're open. Just look out for the people with the cameras that be the vloggers.
I'm offended by that, but you're 100% correct.
I'm a vlogger as well. I'm not that type of vlogger. I'm not just Orlando. I am Tenerife and sometimes Orlando, but I do vlog. There you go. Simon, if you listen, mate, cheap plug right at the end, Epic Field Vlogs.
Nice. Well played.
Yes. So so there's no other news really. So I was going to say, before we do go, what did you think about the event being cancelled yesterday? Any inside knowledge why that happened? That's the food event where people are paying for Halloween or
anything? The Taste of Terror event, the rumor is they just didn't have enough people to warrant having it.
And that's what I thought. I know they put the price down to 130, didn't they? And I believe with some annual pass holders, they could actually get it for 115. Personally, I think they should have started at 115.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're unfamiliar with Taste of Terror, I've written about it in like 8 places. So I'm sure you could Google my name and Taste of Terror and find it. But it's a special event. It was a great idea. But it was overpriced, and they were trying to do a whole bunch of things.
It was the Star Wars Galaxy Edge of Universal.
That's fair, actually.
Is it called Galaxy Edge a hotel? I could never remember now. Quest, maybe, or whatever.
Yes.
I'm not a Star Wars fan.
They also added a non-alcoholic version of that event. I think it was like $89 now before discount. So
they know they've gone wrong in places. I think if they do it next year, the price will be a lot lower, and it will make more sense. Right.
The primary goal was to test getting this stuff out quickly, because they really want to solve the getting the food out quickly problem.
Okay. Right. So, John, thank you for coming on. I hope that's got everyone's mouth drooling for this food. I didn't talk drinks. I'm going to do that with Simon, because Simon loves his drinks, and Joe. Okay. So we'll talk about the drinks on that show. Where can people find you?
If you're looking for HHN stuff, probably the easiest place to find me is going to be piratesandprincesses.net. And we're doing a lot of stuff there. Thrills Taste Travel has already done a blog about our experience at Taste of Terror. And I may or may not be doing some stuff for Matt over at Attractions Magazine during that time. So if you're looking for HHN stuff, and that's probably the three easiest places. Twitter,
and if you want people to follow you on Twitter again?
Yeah, it's Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R. Yes, P-A-S-T-O-R. John, once again, with no H, J-O-N, self, S-E-L-F.
There we go, people. And obviously, you can follow us on X and all the others, basically, at HHE Pod. As I said earlier, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us go higher up the charts and grow as a show. Give us a great review on all good podcast apps, whatever one you use. And subscribe to us on YouTube as well. For me, be epic, stay spooky, and all the other ones we use. And John, thank you very much for being on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Phil.
See you all soon. Me and Simon are going to be recording very soon tips and tricks for travelers, not from people local, travelers for Halloween Horror Nights, to try and help out new people. For me, as I said earlier, be epic. Stay tuned for more episodes, and haunt season is on. It's here, isn't it? Let's be truthful. It's here.